Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to another episode of Sour Graps. I'm your host, Alex Pawlowski. And when they release 13 NXT talents during SmackDown, and it's the first NXT show back from that, and there was an edict being passed around that seems to spell the end of NXT as we know it. When all those things are true, then I get to use the Sour Graps catchphrase. Everything sucks. For those of you who don't watch the program, the Fightful Select Show, the traditional beverage of Sour Graps is lemonade. And I try and stay away from lemonade when I don't need to be extra sour. But so the NXT shows, I don't have to be. Why would I be? You know? NXT's been pretty good. Not great, but pretty good since the move to Tuesdays. The early shows on Tuesdays, the first few weeks were really good. It's been plateauing and then down a little bit and then plateauing for a little bit, maybe a little uptick here and there, but for the most part, just pretty good. I shudder to think what NXT might be in 3 or 4 months. If what we were hearing this past weekend was true, if the releases continue, I shudder. Ooh. That's me shuddering to think what NXT might be. Please leave a like, subscribe, tap the bell for notifications. You know the whole drill. If you're in the chat, please leave a like. It would be nice. We would like that. Also, subscribe to Fightful Select. That's the best way to support Fightful. Support me, because I'm on Fightful Select. I do a Raw review every Tuesday, and a SmackDown review most Saturdays, sometimes on a Friday. And I rip a new one into main roster booking, because main roster booking is main roster booking. So we'll see, because tonight's main event was a great match with the main roster booking. So we'll talk about that when we come to it. Also, I should note, Milwaukee, where I am, is in the middle of a thunderstorm. It was really bad earlier. 30 blocks from me, gigantic oak trees were uprooted. There were fires all over the town just to the east of us, just the west of us. From lightning down power lines. It was scary for a while. My power never went out, thank God. But we're not out of the woods yet. I still see a few flashes of lightning out the window. So if this whole thing were to collapse, that's the reason. And we'll owe you one. We'll do the actual NXT thing on a delay. I also want to let you know that Fightful, this podcast is brought to you by allform.com/Fightful. Go there, get yourself some brand new modular furniture delivered in a jiffy. It's really good stuff. We like allform.com here, allform.com/Fightful. Please send in a super chat, and I will read your question or statement on the air, and we'll discuss it. You get to control where this is going. Really supports us. Thank you very much. Rob Reed, for example, sent in one that says, that tonight's show was like a surefire inside the park home run, but somehow getting tagged at home plate. Yeah, no, the runner, easy inside the park home run. The outfielder couldn't find the ball. It was lost in the ivy in Wrigley Field. And then halfway between third base and home plate, the runner was like, what's going on? What happened? I'm distracted. And then got tagged out. Yeah. And just stellar Justin Lopez says, after TakeOver 36, we may see the end of an era. It's might be true. Before we get into the show, I've talked extensively about the NXT releases on Fightful Select during the Saturday night Sour Grab show. But this is the NXT podcast, so real quickly, RIP those 13, including some people that Bronson Reed, man, he was the previous NXT North American champ. Just gone. Bobby Fish seems like he's been in NXT a staple for gone. He's gone. Mercedes Martinez cut while recovering from a concussion she sustained inside an NXT ring. Just not a great look. To cut all these people. There's people that like they cut people like Jake Atlas, who's uniformly loved. But they cut people who were Leon Ruff, a former NXT champion, NXT North American champion, excuse me, was with his match that he had taped days earlier aired on 205 Live, along with Asher Hale. Ari Sterling also got cut. Like, these are people who were on TV. Tyler Rust, part of the Diamond Mine. Cut, get out. We don't need you. We don't want you. Get out. And the scuttlebutt going around is that that they're going to do a rethinking of NXT, going back to developmental, going away from like a super indie to like what was described by Dave Meltzer as the Kurt Axel NXT. But he wasn't Kurt Axel in NXT. He was Michael effing McGillicuddy in NXT. And that era of NXT, go back and watch it, I dare ya. Because outside of like Seth Rollins and Big E and the Wyatts, but all those people got called up. There were some doldrums down there at that point. The only thing before that is like Daniel Bryan era NXT, where they're like, it's a quiz show and let's all do an obstacle course. If that's where you want to go back to, Vince, you can count me out. I have no interest in that. There was the edict that apparently was going around, which Dave Meltzer seemed like he was quoting. So then I'm allowed to quote Dave Meltzer because the word being used is a borderline slur in my book. No more midgets. A, the fact that you can think that just about, we don't want smaller people in our developmental territory. Just the fact that you can say that. If you said smaller people or undersized individuals, it would still be like, really? In 2021? But if you say the word, which I'm not going to say again, a now derided term for little people. In 2021, as a policy that you're going to implement, just beyond the pale. So, when Vince and Johnny Ace and Richard came and visited the PC a while ago, and we were like, oh no, who are they going to call up? Whose career are they going to ruin when they call him up to Raw, when they drag him down to Raw? Turns out they may not have been doing that. They may have been just scouting to see who they could fire because they weren't tall or heavy enough. Then, last night on Raw, Karrion Kross, the current NXT champion, who was on Raw but wasn't on NXT tonight, apart from being a video package, he upped his record on the main roster to 2-2. So congratulations to Karrion Kross to making it back to 500. And they taped Main Event last night, and the soft call-up that went to Aaliyah when she broke ranks with the Robert Stone brand, we haven't seen her since. She's been doing dark matches and stuff to get ready for the main roster. She had a Main Event match on Main Event last night where she beat Dakota Kai, who is the current number one contender for the Women's Championship of NXT. And she lost to a woman whose gimmick was she lost every match while in NXT. If you think that doesn't hurt the perception overall of your third brand, which is now like your minor league system, you're crazy. Ricardo El Idolo says he seems like the no little people edict, the no midget edict. Has changed the breakout tournament, so this will be interesting. I kind of always thought that Trey Baxter, the former Blake Christian, was going to lose that match. But certainly now he's going to lose that match to a guy as big as Odyssey Jones. Woo, boy. And DeLeo says that the whole show just felt empty. Even with some of the show being okay today, it seemed like everyone involved wasn't invested. Well, if you believe some reports from earlier in the day, tensions were high backstage. Because remember, this is the first time people have come to TV taping since all their friends got fired. So, yeah, it would be a little... People might not be invested because they don't know the next time if they're going to see their next paycheck. They might be fired on a whim whenever the crazy man decides, yes, we'll do that. The Nerd Guru asks, why does Vince hate NXT? Is it because they failed to beat AEW in the ratings? Or is it because takeovers were continuously better than main roster shiznit? I think it's the first one. But I also feel like, listen, this is just my opinion. I feel like Vince is recognizing that he's on the way out. You know what I mean? Like, how many more years can he actually do this? I mean, he's 75. I mean, his mother is still alive, apparently. I think. If not, she lived to a ripe old age. Over 100, I think. So maybe he's saying, my genes are so good and I keep myself in such good shape, I'll be ruining wrestling for the next 3 decades. But maybe he's like, I'm trying to get everything in order. And I feel threatened by my son-in-law. I feel like he's going to usurp me. I mean, maybe. I don't know. He seems like a kind of mad king, doesn't he? Like a Shakespearean character who's realizing that he can't hold on to the throne forever, so he might as well just burn it before anybody else can take it. And the way to do that, the way to get back at his son-in-law is to ruin his son-in-law's little vanity fed. And turn it back into his idea of what developmental was supposed to be. I mean, that's the thing, right? The developmental was Vince's idea of that was never, let's hire all the small guys from the indies, the work rate guys, and we'll just build our little indie here. You know, his idea was, let's bring in these people, maybe some people who've never wrestled before. We'll train them how to wrestle our way, and then after a while, we'll bring them up to the main roster, and we'll build these people, mold them, shape them, develop them in my image, the way I want it to be. And they'll be future WWE WrestleMania main eventers. But that version sucked. And as soon as I started picking up really talented guys from the indies and putting on great matches and putting on these takeovers everybody was talking about, all of a sudden the interest went crazy. People, the more hardcore wrestling, I knew people in 2017 who said, I haven't watched a Raw or a SmackDown in forever, but I'll never miss an episode of NXT. It's the only reason I got the network. And I don't know, maybe Vince resented that. Maybe he did. We never know. So, tonight's show was started with Dakota Kai, who lost again to Aaliyah last night. She was supposed to be Ember Moon versus Saray, but Ember Moon wasn't cleared. So now it's Dakota Kai versus Saray. And this is so interesting. If you look at there must have been two different schools of thought for the opening match and the main event. Because the first match, Dakota Kai and Saray is very good. I think both of them are great. I love Dakota Kai, I really do, which is why it sucks to see her losing to Aaliyah on main event. I think Saray, has a lot of. I think there's a really cool opportunity for them to tell the story. Who knows if they even will? They could release Saray tomorrow. You never know. There's a really cool opportunity for them to tell a light versus dark story with the two Japanese women, Saray versus Io Shirai. I mean, Io Shirai is never really turned face. She's just a little off. It would only take a tweak in her character to make her go back to like that dark version of Io Shirai. So Io Shirai, that version, versus Saray, who's all bubbly and happy and sunshine, and them colliding could be a really cool feud. I do like Saray a lot. As I was watching this thing, there was some really, really good back and forth. Saray hits an amazing running low drop kick against the bottom rope. She goes for it again, but Kai gets out of the way and then comes back with a big boot to Saray in the ropes, hung up in the ropes. So that was really good. Then we see Raquel Gonzalez walking in the parking lot with purpose, carrying her title belt. And I was like, ah, darn it. She's going to walk in and distract Dakota, and Dakota's going to lose the match to Saray. And, I mean, how does that help? I mean, I guess it protects Saray, but they think it's going to protect Dakota Kai. But then shouldn't Saray be added to that title match? Like, Saray just beat the number one contender, regardless of your stupid distraction. But thankfully, they saved that booking for the main event. And the opening segment of the night, was that before Raquel could get to the ring, Dakota Kai came back with that running huge kick in the corner. She was hit, like Saray was hitting a bunch of suplexes, but Kai was so resilient. She got out of it. She hit the big kick in the corner. She got the pin. 1, 2, 3. Good for Dakota Kai. And she stands tall, and I think she was about to attack Saray in the corner again. She was going to do her little run around the thing. But Raquel Gonzalez slides in, and Dakota Kai is taking one step toward running to Saray, sees Raquel and just beats cheeks right out of that ring. That was some good stuff, man. I loved it. I thought that was really excellent. Brandon Charles Powell brings up a point. He didn't want to see Saray or Dakota losing tonight, but with injuries and Vince on a rampage, I'll let it go tonight. Good opener, though. I think Saray is going to be fine. I don't think they're positioning her to do anything just yet. They can heat her back up with three matches in a row or something. I mean, NXT is pretty good about not everybody has to win every match. If you look at the main roster, like somebody did one of those, it was on Reddit or something, where they did one of those AEW charts of who has the best win-loss in the women's division, who's the champion, what their win-loss is, and then everybody else. And the top contenders, and like Sasha Banks, who's number one contender, is like 3-5. And the number third contender is Zelina, and she's 0-4 or whatever. At least in NXT, people who are near the top have decent win-loss records. And I feel like this is a setback for Saray, but she'll win the next one, and she might win the one after that, and we'll see where it goes from there. But so Gonzalez chases her out of the ring, gets the mic, and says, all you had to do to get a title shot was ask, but now I'm going to tear you apart. I love it. It's great. Builds the hype for that match. That video package from Dakota last week was great. Dakota looking good in a win to this tonight was even better. The thing that happened on Main Event, we'll not focus on it because they don't think it's canon. So why should we, right? So remember how I said they're losing the out of the office, out of the CWC remote taped skit content from LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. They're losing that Butler stuff. They're moving on to something else with that story. So you got to get more content outside of the pre-tape stuff. Some of that stuff that they do in NXT is really, really great, especially when it's the Garganos. So they had Dexter Lumis lose the lover or loser match. He was supposed to have lost her, but I guess Andy said we're not gonna let that happen. So they had a first date tonight. It was all taped and everything was really well done. Indy getting ready in the bathroom. Dexter Lumis showing up with black roses, red roses painted black. And Gargano talking to him in the front room like he's a dad on prom night. I thought it was really funny. I thought it was everything I wanted these to be. I think it's a great start. Continue them, please. Candace says, do you have protection? She says to Indy. He says, what are you talking about? I'm a former women's tag team champion. I don't need protection. Oh, Indy, you're so naive. But I did think it was all really good. You're going to have her home by 10, mister. I thought this was. I think that the goofy segments can be terrible if they're poorly acted and poorly written. I thought this was good for both of those things. So that's why I liked it. I think it can have a place. Some little levity injected. I also love that they're going to track Indy and Dexter to the restaurant. And we'll just talk about this whole thing right now. But it was everything I wanted. Dexter just staring straight ahead, not saying anything. Indy orders like half the menu for an appetizer. She won't shut up about chicken fingers. And then she can hear a radio being like way too loud. She follows the sound of it. It's Rebel Heart to Poisonous Pixie. Rebel Heart to Poisonous Pixie. Do you see the target? Over. And it is Johnny Gargano on the radio, and Candace in a black trench coat with a collar pulled up, sitting behind a newspaper, and Indy's like, Johnny, leave us alone. We're on a date. And Candace says, we're blown. Our cover is blown. The jig is up. Abort, abort. I repeat, abort. And she runs off. I thought that was hilarious. And then later in the night, after the meal, they're about to have dessert. So who brings the dessert? But Johnny in a terrible wig and terrible, even worse mustache. Indy sees immediately through the disguise. And of course, because it's a cake, a coconut cake, it ends up being struggled with, tug of war with the cake, and it ends up in Dexter's face. That's an old, terrible joke. Who, like, whenever there's a cake, it's going to wind up in somebody's face. It's a very easy trope in wrestling, especially WWE. But I really loved it because of Dexter's reaction, which of course is to completely no-sell it. Stare up at Johnny and stare down at the table and stare at Indy with the whole side of his face all covered in coconut cream. It takes a lot to not break during stuff like that. I have a lot of respect for Dexter, the performer, to just perfectly keep a straight face in those giant eyes. I think it's really good. Cyclops, better than Wolverine, says, I love Candace and John going all in as their parents. I love it. There was a great moment where, like, do you, like, we can't be too hard on her. We have to let her do her own thing, says Johnny. Like, do you want her to run away like Austin did? We haven't seen him. Like, nobody knows where Austin is. He's out there somewhere, half naked in the wilderness. And I thought to myself, what a great description of what it is to lose on Main Event. Just being half naked in the wilderness. As he lost to Odyssey Jones on Main Event this week. So, poor Austin. He took his hobo bindle and left. And we'll never see him again. I thought that was a really wonderful little through line of segments. I thought it was very funny. Hit Row does they're at an undisclosed location. They were gonna let things go with the God of the Phantasma, but then they attacked from behind, stole Swerve's grill, disrespected us and our culture. Swerve Scott throws a lucha mask into Dumbfire. This is the one title that has not been mentioned for the next 2 weeks. I don't know if they add it to TakeOver, or they add it to next week, or they do it the Tuesday after TakeOver. But obviously, it's a Santos versus Swerve match for the North American title. But we haven't. Everything else, I feel like, has got something that's going on with it. Women's tag titles, not yet either. I think. Well, they don't have anybody to wrestle right now, so that's a problem. But I do love Hit Row. Ilya Dragunov, who many of you may not. Be familiar with if you don't watch NXT UK. I myself keep up with NXT UK by like watching clips. And if there's an amazing match, somebody says you got to watch it, I'll make sure I watch at least parts of it. I've seen in their entirety, two Ilya Dragunov matches. And that's on me, man. I just don't have time to watch as much as I should. But the two that I watched, holy hell. Him versus Walter last year, and the one at one of the takeovers, the NXT UK takeovers versus Cesaro. That was I almost cursed. Very, very, very good. Ilya Dragunov is amazing. He's a very, very, very special performer. And he says he comes out. He's wearing a turtleneck. Nerd Guru says the Dragunov versus Cesaro is an absolute must watch. I agree. And if that Walter match from last year was pretty amazing as well. Dragunov says that he's never been a man of big words. He talks about how words, I've been through so much pain. The struggle and the fighting have been my words. I put my strength into my fists, not my mouth. That was bad. That was like an Arnold Schwarzenegger. Let me see if I can get better. We will witness chaos and rage. An unbeatable kingdom will fall when I end Walter's title reign, take over 36, become the NXT UK champion. It's bad. Not great. I'll get better. But then Pete Dunne shows up, and you know I love the Pete Dunne. The problem with Pete Dunne right here is he doesn't say I don't care. He doesn't even say. He says, hey, mate, you owe me a big thank you, because without me traveling the world with that NXT UK championship, I put the brand on the map. I tear the entire continent on my back. then you wouldn't be competing against Walter at TakeOver. And you damn sure wouldn't be in my ring standing in front of the baddest man in NXT. And then I was like, listen, I'm here not because of you. I'm here because of what I did. I'm going to beat, I will beat Walter at TakeOver 36. Something that you cannot change. And that is something that you cannot do. Which is true. Pete Dunne lost to Walter. But that is in 2 weeks. So how about tonight you show me that your words are just as strong as your will to fight is when you face me. I promise after tonight you won't make it to TakeOver. And so that's good. That's our main event. Pete Dunne versus you. I didn't think we were going to get a Pete Dunne versus Ilya Dragunov match when the night started. Turned out to be a great match with a shit finish. Main roster booking. Mackenzie Mitchell interviews LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. Well, last time we saw you, you were walking out on your partner, Cameron Grimes. Listen, he's my butler, dummy. Yeah. And he's a failure. Because he lost. I'm not a failure. I don't care what WWE said last week. He's a failure. And he'll see what it's like to win tonight. And then they have LA Knight come out and squash poor Andre Chase. I guess they couldn't find a suitable local competitor. Because that dude looked pretty decent in his match in the first round of the breakout tournament, but he got ruined with the quickness by LA Knight. Then he says, "Why don't you shine my boot?" To Cameron Grimes while he's standing there tall after him. And Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase comes out, and he does not know his lines. Ted doesn't. He says, this has gone too far. I know that you're a man of your word, but you're a man of your word. You're a man of your word. But there's so much more that you can do. Like Ted DiBiase forgot the rest of that sentence. Hey, listen, happens to the best of us, but it was very noticeable. And he says, "Stop talking to him. Why are you out here again, old man? You want to get your guys punched out again? You need to shut your mouth. Grimes can be whatever he wants to be. He just has to follow his heart." This is the Disney movie portion of the evening. But he wants to be a champion. I think he can. If you put the title on the line, he'll become a champion. And he's like, no. I've already beaten him twice. And you stop feeding lies to him. And he says, how about this? Third match, I'll beat him a third time. If I lose, he can have this belt or whatever. He'll never be a butler anymore. But if I win, when I win, he's not my butler anymore. You are. I don't think they're going to do that to Ted. I don't think they're going to have a Ted being the butler. I don't think they're going to have Cameron Grimes lose again. So I think at TakeOver, Cameron Grimes is going to beat LA Knight for that belt. Grimes does not like the idea because he doesn't want he doesn't want to be on the hook for if Ted has to be the butler. The only reason that I think that they might make Ted the butler is they would have Grimes. They might do this, and that might honestly be a really sweet gesture. If Grimes loses, let's say LA Knight cheats and Grimes loses and Ted has to be the butler, Grimes would have to pay LA Knight to get Ted DiBiase out of the contract to be the butler. He'd have to buy out Ted DiBiase's services as the butler. And LA Knight will say, will quote some crazy number that'll be all that Cameron Grimes has left. And we won't get any more rich Cameron Grimes character, because I don't know how much longer that's going to last. But if they want to get out of that, that might be the way to do it. To have him not lose all his money in friggin' like a gambling scheme or whatever, but to have him lose his money by doing the real good and just thing, which is to make, to get Ted out of a bad situation that was what Cameron Grimes was responsible for by losing to LA Knight. And that would perfectly cement Cameron Grimes' face turn if he did that magnanimous gesture. And he wouldn't have to be like broke. He wouldn't have to be Baron Corbin or something. He could just go back to being regular Cameron Grimes. The Nerd Guru says, how much you want to bet Vince would call up LA Knight and give him the Miz's gimmick with a talk show called Tonight in LA? Get it? The night, the two night in LA? Yes, Vince would absolutely do this. You don't have to be sorry for that, Nerd Guru. We've all been conditioned to think like Vince, and that's a very Vince thought. So we get a vignette with Gigi Dolin. She's snipping heads off of roses, which is interesting because we've seen her with Mandy Rose. So it's interesting, like maybe that's the gimmick now, is that Mandy Rose is turning all her recruits into like these amateur botanists. I'm not really sure. So she says it's about surviving and running through every one of the division. She names a bunch of them. And that's 9 to 5. You make sure you watch your back and watch as I dominate. I'm not doing it alone either. I'm like, oh, with Mandy Rose? And yes, but not on the show tonight. She's out there with JC Jane, who's her little valet, I guess. And Gigi Dolin faces Amari Miller, who I don't believe we've seen before. You know who I miss? Zeta Ramir. Remember her a little while ago? A few months ago, she had that shock victory over Toni Storm and looked really good doing it. She had a shooting star press off the top rope to beat Toni Storm. I miss Zeta Ramir. If she's not hurt currently, she should be on TV more. She doesn't have to win every match. You can build her up over time, but I think she's really, really interesting, and I'd like to see her more on television, please. Gigi Dolin looked good tonight. She got a lot of potential. I liked her promo. I like her look. I like her charisma. She seems to have that effortlessness of being a heel, especially with that punk vibe with the really bright hair and all the leather and stuff. It seems like she might be a more natural fit as what heel Ruby Riott was, because Ruby Riott never worked to me as a heel. She's just too naturally a decent, good human being. And they made her put on that persona, and it never really fit. Only because, like, oh, look, she's got piercings. She must be a heel. No. But Gigi Dolin, that fits. So I think that might be something that might work for her. She did this really cool, like, her finishing maneuver was something I've never seen before. It was like an abdominal stretch bomb. Like, she got the abdominal stretch on and then just flipped her over onto the back of her head. I like it. So we have a podium in the ring with a bunch of PC. Those guys all appear. Oh, so not only was there a no members of the Lollipop Guild edict, but also nobody in their 30s. That was a thing that came through. Those guys in the ring playing security guards were all definitely not members of the Lollipop Guild, and all of them were definitely not over 30. So I think the edict's starting to work. One of those dudes was Rick Steiner's kid, and one of those dudes was also Parker Boudreau, the guy who everyone thinks looks like Brock. So that was interesting. But anyway, they're all out there to run security for this face-to-face between O'Reilly and Cole. And what it is it's to announce that it's going to be a 2 out of 3 falls match at TakeOver. Each guy gets to pick one stipulation. And if it goes to the third fall, then the stipulation is one that Regal picks. So Kyle says it first. He says, I'm going to pick a straight-up wrestling match because it really sticks in my craw that I lost to Adam Cole in a straight-up wrestling match when I know I'm the better wrestler. And then Adam Cole says that his match is going to be a street fight. So it's basically their first two matches, basically. And then there's going to be a third, because there's always going to be a third in a 2 out of 3 falls match. But I liked the promos they cut on one another. Adam Cole, baby. What do we think, people? There's a rumor going around that he was offered $1 million a year to stay in WWE, get called up, dragged down to the main roster. What do we think? Should he take that? After seeing several of his friends get fired unceremoniously while he was meeting with Vince? What do we think? Is money everything? Because I think the competition would pay him at least 75% of that. And then on top of that, he could earn all kinds of money in merch sales and everything else. He'd get to work alongside his girlfriend, Britt Baker, with all of his best friends from New Japan who were all in AEW. He'd get to do actually good storylines and wrestle people like a who's who, like an absolute murderer's row of the best workers in the world, where he could have dazzling matches with the likes of everybody, including, I don't know, Brian frigging Danielson. Leonard Guru says, if I'm Adam Cole, the only way I...
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
I was offered to be the guy that beats Roman Reigns, anything less, and I'm all elite. Well, he could be offered that. That's the thing. Vince is a liar. He's a serial liar. So he could say, we got plans for you, kid. You're going to be the guy who beats Roman Reigns. And then, oops. Plans change. Sorry, kid. We had a different idea. Cyclops says he would take the money. Even if he gets cut, AEW would want him. Yes, that's true. My point is, it's the money and the worst creative in all of professional wrestling. So that, to me, lowers the amount of money I'm making because I have to work at WWE. And what is, if you were telling me that the offer was $1 million a year from Vince McMahon and $100,000 a year from Tony Khan, I'd be like, yeah, I could see that. Take the money. But if it's $1 million a year from Vince McMahon and $800 a year from Tony Khan, like AEW all the way, I can't even fathom. After what happened on Friday, I can't even fathom anybody deciding to stay in NXT or be called up to the main roster. Sailor Joseph Lopez says that they are totally recycling TakeOver Toronto between Gargano and Cole. It's the same match with the exact same steps and Regal picking the cage for the third. Yeah. Yeah, they don't seem to have many different ideas. I think the match is going to hump, but you know, what I want, what I want is them to just frigging come out and do it. Not only is it 2 out of 3 falls, not only are these 3 falls the stipulations, but it's a loser leaves NXT match. And then when Adam Cole loses, you got to wonder, did he lose because he's being called up / dragged down? Or did he lose because he's out the door and going someplace else? That would be fun for me. I did like the promos they cut up opposite each other. Kyle O'Reilly saying, "I've learned under your tutelage how to be a heartless son of a bitch. So you're gonna wish that you hadn't taught me so well in our match." And Cole says, "Of course you learned. I've been teaching you for 13 years, been mentoring you for 13 years, and for 13 years you've been riding my coattails, trying to be me, and you've been a failure." I thought it was a really simple promo, back and forth. Well done. Eventually it comes to blows. Of course it does. And the security guy's got to get involved. And that's when Regal says, "I thought this would happen. Well, if it's going to a third fall, that third fall will be within the confines of a steel cage." Yep. So that'll be fun. What do you guys think? Ballpark, 50, 55 minutes for the whole deal. I mean, it's going to be a TakeOver main event, I think. I'm pretty sure we're going to do that for the main event. Yeah. 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 I mean, maybe you're going to do Joe versus Cross, but I'm not really sure. I think they might do a thing where like, Joe and Cross come to blows backstage, and so they have to do that match first because otherwise they can't keep them apart for the rest of the night. Maybe. There was a little backstage promo cut by Ciampa and Thatcher, mostly Ciampa. We were all there ready to beat up Pete Dunne and Oney Lorcan, but they had to bring Ridge Holland back to get him a win. Ridge was chosen. They chose him. They brought him in. He's not seasoned. Like, the business chose us. That's what we're here. We're here for the business. This business. And, that's for you, Jeremy. Ciampa and Timothy Thatcher have been going around the whole time, right? Been traveling the world doing this for years. How about this? How about we have Tommaso Ciampa versus Ridge Holland, and Timothy Thatcher says, "With all due respect, Ridge Holland versus Timothy Thatcher." And Ciampa agrees, which means to me this is Ridge Holland beats the hell out of Timothy Thatcher, and then he has to go one on one with Ciampa as a retribution or whatever kind of thing, revenge match. And Ciampa will probably lose that too. Man, it's just so weird to think of Ciampa in whatever Vince's version of NXT is going to be. That's a guy who I hope just straight up leaves. Like, I mean, I know that he moved his whole family to Orlando, built a life there, says, I don't ever want to leave. He doesn't want to go to the main roster. Maybe he wants to go somewhere else where he can actually do some good stuff. Because there's a lot more of Ciampa I'd like to see outside of NXT's creative. Because that thing that was going around of like, when was the time, what made you like go, you know, stop loving NXT? People were like, it was Ciampa and Gargano. Well, I mean, yeah, it got a little melodramatic near the end, but they kept going back to the well too often. There was nothing like that feud when it started. And that was that they did everything they could do with it. And then NXT was like, hey guys, want to do it again? And I think that that's not their fault, certainly. It's the fault of the bookers who decided to run that shit back over and over and over and over and over again. And enough rematches, doesn't matter how good the people are. The Niguru says, once again, he would like Tommy and Timmy and Kevin Owens. If they're going to do a triple threat, six-man tag, Oney and Pete and Ridge, and Tommy and Timmy to get somebody, Kevin Owens is my pick. Let's do that. I'd like that very much. Maybe the great thing to end the vignette that I love so much, which is that Ciampa throws this folding chair he's sitting in into the garage door behind him, and then Timothy Thatcher just smiles really big and crazy. I love it. I love Tommy and Timmy, and I love friendship. Marcel and Fabian were going to talk about how they're the blah, 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 blah. They were going to protect the purity of the sport by any means necessary. It's weird when you have the two guys from Germany talking about the purity of something that has to be protected from people like MSK. I don't know. MSK, they interrupt with their own vignette and they mock the promo and they say, you know what? If you want to shout the titles, all you got to do is let us know. Later in the night, that match is made for next week, for next Tuesday, MSK versus Imperium, as well as we see Malcolm Bivens coming out of William Regal's office, seeing two gigantic young lads guarding the door and giving them each his business card. And he leaves, and William Regal comes out. And he says that we're going to have Kushida versus Roderick Strong for the Cruiserweight title next week. So the next week is loaded. That's two big-time title matches next week. I'm very excited about Kushida versus Strong should be great. RIP, one half of Diamond Mine. I mean, as far as we know, Hideki Suzuki is only the coach. Bivens doesn't wrestle, so really the only people who were in the Diamond Mind, like actually wrestlers, was Roderick Strong and Tyler Rust. And one of them got fired unceremoniously last week, and they are not even allowed to bring him up, I guess. SKC Music Guy GK underscore 03 says that he would like DIY versus Young Bucks, please. Yeah. If Gargano and Ciampa were to leave, they should immediately reform DIY and just go anywhere they damn please and wrestle amazing tag matches because those two guys were amazing. If they were wind up in AEW as DIY, as Ciampa and Gargano, joining forces again, DIY versus the Young Bucks? Sure. DIY versus the Lucha Bros? Absolutely. DIY versus, I don't know, FTR. Those were some of the best tag matches I've ever seen in my life. I don't care. Let's run it back and do it again in the other company. Absolutely. Odyssey Jones versus Trey Baxter. Trey Baxter, they had him shave the little goatee. He's clean shaven now, or at least mostly. He's got a little patch on the chin, but they had him get rid of the mustache. Maybe he looked too evil. But Odyssey Jones wins this. Baxter is admirably trying to chop the big man down, but really Odyssey Jones does a big splash in the corner, and then his weird, like, backdrop turned into a sidewalk slam thing that he does that I really like, and he just squishes him. Like, Trey Baxter was not booked to have much of a chance against Odyssey Jones. So we got Jones in the final, which they haven't announced for TakeOver, but I'm thinking they might have a huge post-TakeOver NXT show. Like, it might be like women's tag titles. They'll figure out who at some point. And the North American Championship, Swerve versus Santos, and the final of the breakout tournament, because next week is the other semifinal match, which is Carmelo Hayes versus Duke Hudson. And I really love both of those guys, and I don't want either of them to lose, because I want both of them to win the tournament, and it's not possible, unfortunately. Jones gets interviewed at ringside. He's very excited. He's ready to break out for the world to see. Sends a message home to his mama. I thought it was good. The crowd seems to love Odyssey Jones. Seems to be a gregarious sort. People seem to like him. Sure, absolutely. Let's do some more of that. Stellar Justin Lopez says, Odyssey Jones and Duke Hudson final. They're the only two in the tournament I see that have it. I see more and more why Odyssey is a Vince favorite. Yeah, man, if you can't see that Carmelo Hayes has it, you ain't watching Carmelo Hayes. Like, that guy has it written all over him in Sharpie. I love Carmelo Hayes. I really, 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 really like Duke Hudson. But I love Carmelo Hayes, man. He's definitely wrong for the new NXT, which is a problem. But Odyssey Jones has already basically been called up. And it'd be weird if you had a guy win the breakout tournament and then, like, show up on Raw the next week. So I honestly don't know what they're going to do. The breakout tournament's supposed to be a guy who breaks out into NXT. And breaking out of NXT into the main roster. Man. Anyway. Oh, Mandy Rose tweeted to take credit for Gigi Dolan's win. So that's a thing. Boa says there's, like, he does a little promo beforehand saying there's no disobedience, will not be tolerated or something. So he comes out to the ring. He's going to face Drake Maverick. Poor Drake Maverick probably shouldn't have been have argued so vociferously to stay on the roster. I mean, at the time, I totally get it. Like, the pandemic, everyone was super scared of it. They should still be, but they're not. But at the time, everyone was scared of the pandemic, and everyone was like, oh, no, what are we going to do? They fired me. I'm so scared. Where's my next meal going to come from? I get it. But in hindsight, in hindsight, he created out of whole cloth from nothing, created one of the most fun fan favorite tag teams in recent NXT memory with him and Killian Dane together. And then Killian Dane gets released and he's jobbing out to Boa as just a guy, not like Drake Maverick, the guy who has all this charisma. But, like, just a guy, a body to lose. Drake gets some offense in, at least. He takes Boa down to the floor. But he slams Boa's knee into the edge of the apron, and he turns around, and then Mei Ying, the 500-year-old dragon lady, 5,000-year-old, I'm sorry. I don't want to misage her. I know how women are about that kind of thing. She doesn't look a day over 4,000. I'll tell you that much. She vapes right in his face. That's metal in your lungs. And Drake Maverick can't take it because there's so much metal in his lungs. So yeah, he rolls back into the ring and gets kicked in the head and gets pinned. So Bo is winning matches now. Renegade Guru says that he wouldn't put it past Vince to make the breakout tournament reward be a Raw or SmackDown contract, since NXT is officially dead and developmental now. I wouldn't put it past Vince either. But here's the thing. That would imply that there's a storyline to be had. They would probably rather just have Odyssey Jones show up on Raw or SmackDown and never explain why he's there or where he came from. Just a big dude in a singlet. Where did you come from? I don't know. Harlem originally. Wouldn't it be nice if somebody would show up on Raw and they'd be like, where did you come from? Well, I won this contract in a breakout tournament on NXT. You should watch it. It's Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. on USA Network. There's a lengthy video package on Samoa Joe and Karrion Kross. Karrion Kross does most of the talking in it. This is them trying to build back hype for this match that has been ruined by all of Karrion Kross on the main roster. Like, it's just, can we have the match already, please? Please, can we have the match already? I'm so done. I'm so done with this. It's just prolonging the inevitable. Kross has to go up. Now, here's the other thing that I honestly wouldn't put it past him either. Kross wins versus Samoa Joe, and then they have him abdicate the title because he doesn't want it anymore. Because now I'm a main roster superstar, and that's all that matters. They could do that. Speaking of other things that are going to happen at TakeOver, Kevin Steets says that Adam Cole should tell them that he's leaving, and then Kyle O'Reilly will win the first two falls in less than 5 minutes. To bury Adam Cole. You chose the wrong side, pal. I'm going to make sure you never draw a dime. That's not how it works anymore, Big Vince. I'm very excited for Samoa Joe to get back in action. I'm very excited for him to be champion of NXT again, the first ever three-time champion, and then see what they do beyond that. Be interesting. Pete Dunne versus Ilya Dragunov is great. Ah, jeez. I love this. Pete Dunne's one of my low-key most favorite wrestlers in WWE of the past 5 years. Since that first ever NXT UK Championship tournament, that run where he just could not be controlled by Regal, by Triple H, or anybody else in the tournament, and he never spoke. It was just really cool, a star-making performance, and him putting over Tyler Bate made Tyler Bate, which you know they never really did anything with, but. They could have, and I loved that match versus Tyler Bate to become champion. I thought that he did a really great job as champion. The match that he lost the title to Walter was great. I've been a fan of his entire run, NXT UK, NXT. That guy's contract is up. Like now. What do you think? Should Pete Dunne resign? You think Pete Dunne should resign? I don't think Pete Dunne should resign. Why would anybody resign? I'm sorry. Why would anybody resign with because Pete Dunne's an amazing wrestler. Is he 5'8"? Like, Vince is never going to book that guy in the right way. Like, just get out. Just get out. The best he could hope for is Chad Gable's career on the main roster. Get out. Go, like if his contract just expires, like, he doesn't sign another one. He's not released from it. It just expires. Then he can show up the next day in AEW or wherever. Just get the hell out, man. Everyone should just leave out. Just leave. Pete Dunne is far too talented. Just the matches that he could have elsewhere, anywhere else. There are guys I'd love to see him wrestle in Impact. Hell, can we get a decent match between him and Jonathan Gresham? This match was phenomenal. I loved the match. Hated the finish. As Brandon Charles Powell says, excellent match, but the finish was anticlimactic. They just pinned him. They were going back and forth. Who's going to get their finisher on the other guy? And the finisher, of course, is the Torpedo Moscow, which is like his running, diving headbutt thing that he does. And he's about to hit it when Walter's music hits. So he kicks Pete Dunne out of the ring to the floor and then starts jawjacking with Walter. Well, Walter's not talking, but Ilya's yelling at him. And so he gets attacked from behind, hit with the bitter end, the finisher that Pete Dunne's been trying to hit on him for 10 minutes and can't. And finally does, because there's a distraction. And he pins the top contender to the NXT UK Championship off a distraction. Not after cheating. Didn't, like, roll him up and get the tights. Just, I mean, that's his, like, what the hell? What the hell? What are you protecting Pete Dunne for? Are you saying, well, we let you beat Ilya Dragunov. Do you want to stay now so nobody else can have you? We won't use you, but... They did a great job making both guys look great in the match. But, man, if you can't figure out a way to have the top content... Like, Just have somebody pin the other guy. They're two great wrestlers. And also probably have the number one contender for your NXT UK Championship being contested in 12 days at TakeOver. Man. And then, of course, Walter gets in the ring to attack him afterwards. And he slaps him once, but then Dragunov's able to hit his Torpedo Moscow, which knocks Walter out of the ring. So Dragunov gets to stand tall holding the belt, even though he lost. I did love the interaction between Pete Dunne and Walter, though. Pete Dunne, now a heel, gets to look at Walter and go, just shrugs. I don't, whatever. I'm Pete Dunne. I don't care. You beat him up. I don't care. And he leaves. Bid Moon says that Pete Dunne needs to run to AEW to sell botched super kicks. Oh. Well, I guess he could. Certainly possible. If this is the beginning of what is going to be a slow descent into just terrible, terrible NXT. Like, this TakeOver, I was saying last week, it could make or break this place. It looks like no matter how good the TakeOver is, it's not going to matter because Vince is going to come in with his grubby little main roster paws and ruin the whole thing. Honestly, not to be too Buddy Murphy about this, but getting released from NXT when there are really so many options out there now, including a serious major competitor, it's got to feel like you're being released from prison, right? Like released, like the governor called with a reprieve from death row. Valab says, "Really, dude, how hard is it to keep challengers strong? I don't know. They don't like to do it. They don't like to do it. They don't like to keep champions strong either. Or they got to keep everybody strong. DQ finishes all around." I really hope that NXT isn't headed down that path to the Michael McGillicuddy version again, because that was really hard to watch. And I honestly don't know what to say, you know. I don't want the regular NXT on the YouTube, no paywall. I don't want it to become Sour Graps, because I know my anti-WWE main roster booking screeds are not for everybody. But I kind of call them like I see them. Right now, they're at a crossroads. NXT can be great again. But you got to wonder if it's going to be. It doesn't appear like they want it to be, releasing all those people and that edict going around. Thanks everybody for watching. Please subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Leave a like, drop something in the comments. I might reply to it. You never know. Subscribe, turn on notifications. Brought to you by allform.com/Fightful. I've been your host, Alex Pulowski. Please don't, NXT, don't book yourself into a corner where you're making me say this every week. I don't want to have to say about NXT that everything sucks.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.